Good Sunday morning to you. It's lovely to have each of you here at Presbyterian Church of the Covenant in Greensboro, North Carolina. Welcome to those online as well. You can find out more about us at athinkingchurch.org. We encourage you to do so. You also can make donations to keep us online there. Top right-hand corner, you'll see the donate button. You may have noticed that we have some guests with us today. Hillary and Christy, who are favorite musicians from a while back, have come to join us today, so we're in for a real treat. We can't tell you how much we appreciate you being here today. I've already seen the many smiling faces as they realize that y'all are here today. So you've already brought some joy to our group. I know that's going to be even more so once we hear more of your music. So thank you again. We really appreciate you being here. I'm going to have two readings to begin the service with. The first is a brief scripture reading. It comes from 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. And this comes from the New Revised Standard Version, the updated edition of that. So, hear now these words. So, we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. I also want to read a brief excerpt from Bishop John Shelby Spong's book, Eternal Life, A New Vision, Beyond Religion, Beyond Theism, Beyond Heaven and Hell. In it, he has this to say. The task of religion is not to turn us into proper believers. It is to deepen the personal within us, to embrace the power of life, to expand our consciousness in order that we might see things that eyes do not normally see. It is to seek a humanity that is not governed by the need for security, but is expressed in the ability to give ourselves away. It is to live not frightened by death, but rather called by the reality of death, to go into our humanity so deeply and so passionately that even death is transcended. That is the call of the fully human one, the Jesus of the transformed consciousness. Thank you very much for that. My message this morning is entitled The Next Christianity, Love Without Fear. So I thought I would give a little preview of my next article that's coming out in Bishop Spahn's newsletter. It's a follow-up to my last article for that newsletter, which we actually did a Sunday sermon series on. And in that sermon series, I asked this question, as well as the original article. I asked the question, what if we take the training wheels off of God? When we talked about it the last time, some of you nodded with a deep sort of relaxed exhale, almost like you've been waiting for someone to say it out loud. Some of you all but, you know, grabbed hold of a pew for a little balance. Both are very honest reactions, very fair. Growth rarely does growth feel like certainty. It usually feels a little bit like wobbling. And I said that maybe Christianity's next chapter is going to be post-theistic, post-dogmatic, post-fear, and all about love. And the moment you say something like that, people want to know, well, where we're heading. If we're talking about taking off the training wheels, are we coasting downhill, or are we pulling up to a cliff? And that's a fair question. It's a fair question. The late Bishop John Shelby Spahn used to say Christianity must change or die. He even used that as the title of one of his books. He didn't say that now. He didn't say it for shock value, not at all. He said it because he saw what was happening. People weren't leaving church because they stopped caring about Jesus or about justice or about spirituality. They were leaving because the version of Christianity we were handing them was, well, it was too small for their spirits. The church told people that questions are dangerous, that doubt was failure, that God was basically an eternal hall monitor with a clipboard. And then we acted surprised when all those people said, you know what? I think I'll just sleep in on Sundays. See, Spahn saw what was coming. He saw that the end of fearful religion was not the death of faith. It was, well, it's the birth of something braver. And that is exactly the moment that we are living in today. Let's be very honest with ourselves. Much of our inherited theology, much of it was built on fear. Fear of punishment, fear of being wrong, fear of being outside the group, fear of stepping out of line. Fear has shaped the architecture of doctrine, worship, church budgets, and even behavior. But fear makes for a terrible theology. A terrible theology, because fear builds walls while love builds, well, longer tables. Fear narrows, love expands. Fear guards, love opens. Fear asks, who doesn't belong? Love asks, who's missing? And if I'm honest, folks, the Christianity that is dissolving around us was deeply invested in control. It counted who was in and who was out. It guarded purity like a museum artifact. It built creeds like border checkpoints. And it forgot. It forgot that Jesus didn't spend his life reinforcing walls. He spent his life tearing those walls down. So, what does the next Christianity look like? I'll at least share my thoughts on that. The next Christianity will not be obsessed with membership tests. It won't be about reciting the right creed or agreeing on every piece of dogma. The earliest Christian followers didn't even have a Nicene Creed. They didn't have a Presbyterian apology book. They didn't have doctrinal statements laminated and posted along the walls of the church. They had potlucks. They had stories. They had healing circles. They had shared heartbreak and stubborn hope. They gathered around bread and they said, you're welcome here. No, really, yes, you are welcome here. See, the next Christianity won't be a gated community. It's probably going to look more like a community garden. Hands in the soil, growing something together, nobody owning the dirt, everyone receiving nourishment from it. And that's where it gets real for us. We are about to move our worship from a church building to a house. Now, some folks hear that and think it means something is shrinking. Something is dying. Something is being lost. But hear me through. The earliest movements of Jesus didn't start in temples. It started in houses and in kitchens and tables that were covered in crumbs. It started with neighbors gathering where life actually happens. So moving into that house across the street is not a retreat. It is a return. A return to intimacy. A return to participation. A return to the sound of chairs scraping the floor and someone laughing a little too loud. A return to making coffee while you talk about the difficulties in your life. We're not downsizing. We are right-sizing. We are trading rows of pews for circles of conversation. We are trading consumption of worship for participation in worship. We are trading the performance of reverence for the experience of connection. See, the next Christianity is not going to be tidy. I promise you, it's not going to even be perfectly scripted. It's going to not even care whether the hymn is played on a grand piano or on an electric digital keyboard. It's not going to ask whether the bread for communion is store-bought, homemade, or leftover from dinner last night. It's only going to care that everyone gets fed. Because this new thing rising among us is not about preserving an institution. It is about practicing love. See, the next Christianity is going to happen in homes, on porches, in coffee shops, online, in community gardens, at vigils, at marches, in art studios, in recovery circles, in grief groups. It will happen wherever people gather to hold one another's humanity with reverence and tenderness. And yes, I promise you that is going to feel a bit messy at times. And yes, it's going to feel real different. And yes, it's going to feel like we're taking off the training wheels. Now, let's name something else as well. Somewhere along the line, religion got deeply entangled in power. It wrapped itself in flags. It blessed violence. It called wealth a sign of divine favor. It told those who were suffering to pray harder, while those in power built bigger storehouses. But you know, Jesus did not get executed because he preached personal piety. He was executed because he preached empathy. And let me tell you this, empathy threatens empire every time. The next Christianity cannot be entangled with empire. It will choose empathy every time. It will speak boldly for the oppressed, the excluded, the overlooked. It will not confuse nationalism with faithfulness. It will not baptize injustice and call it peace. Empathy is what the empire fears the most. Empathy is what exposes cruelty. Empathy is what gives the hungry a seat at the table and demands the table be extended yet again. You know what real resurrection looks like today? It looks like casseroles arriving in a moment of grief. It looks like folding chairs pulled up close so everyone has a place at the table. It looks like a small group showing up in the parking lot for a local rally with homemade signs. It looks like church that feels more like family than like institution. It looks like a living room that doubles as a sanctuary. From today's scripture reading in 1 John, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Notice what it doesn't say. It does not say love avoids fear. It does not say love ignores it or avoids it. It does not say love makes us feel comfortable. It says love throws fear out of the house. Love changes the whole environment. So, what if that house we are moving into is not just a house for worship? What if it's sort of a laboratory, a training ground, a garden plot for the next Christianity? Place where we practice love that casts out fear, love that welcomes questions, love that holds doubt gently, love that opens the door when the world feels harsh. That house can be a place where fear loosens, where belonging deepens, where no one has to pretend to be certain. See, the next Christianity won't be built on fear of hell. It will be built on the hope of heaven showing up here on earth, what I like to call the kingdom of love. The next Christianity won't obsess over who's saved. It will care about who is safe. The next Christianity won't cling to dogma. It will cling to compassion. The next Christianity won't be quiet or polite or comfortable. It'll be alive. And love will be at the center of it. Not the sentimental kind. The kind with dirt under its nails and laughter in its lungs and calluses on its hands. The kind that builds ramps. The kind that forgives deaths. The kind that tells the truth even when the powerful don't like it. The kind that insists every person is beloved. This is the Christianity we're giving our lives to. Not because someone threatened us with consequences if we didn't do it, but because our hearts recognize it as true. See, that Christianity that rises next will rise in living rooms, porch gatherings, shared meals, lifted voices, joined hands, marching feet, quiet tears, stubborn hope, and fierce commitment to one another. We're not walking into something smaller. We're not. We're walking into something deeper. May we walk and be moved by love without fear.
He's got the word.
We really, truly appreciate your being here and sharing those gifts with us. Let's bow our heads together. We breathe in mystery again. We breathe in the truth that love is bigger than every wall we have built, every fear we have carried, every story we were handed that tried to shrink the size of our hearts. May we be moved to trust what is rising in us, not the old fear that guarded the borders of belonging, but the love that keeps insisting there is room for everyone. As we step into this new way of being church, into living rooms and open kitchens, into circles small enough for real stories and deep questions, may we be reminded that this is where the earliest followers gathered. This is where courage grew. This is where resurrection found its voice. Let the walls of fear gently fall away. Let the training wheels of certainty loosen their grip. Let love stretch us beyond the familiar into the freedom of what could be. May we become people who listen more than we lecture, who share bread more easily than we share opinions, who choose compassion before correctness, who measure faith by the way we show up for one another. Move us toward a love that casts out fear. Move us toward a justice that refuses to look away. Move us towards the courage that rises in the cracks of the world and whispers that transformation is still possible. And as we go from this place, may our hearts stay open, our tables stay wide, our lives become small, steady testaments to the love that never stops expanding. Amen. See this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and your actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.